MSSPs and other security service providers comprise the backbone of the cybersecurity industry. They are the organizations on the front line that keep the world running in the face of ever more sophisticated adversaries. In this special series, we're going to be exploring a variety of topics with seasoned experts around the ways they've learned to improve the effectiveness of their organizations. Our guest today is Garrett Krajec, CEO of UAttest. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about how MSSPs help clients meet regulatory requirements and what it means for the MSSP. But first, a word from the sponsor of the show, Lima Charlie.
My name is Maxime Lamadbrassard, and I'm the founder of Lima Charlie, the company behind the SecOps Cloud platform. Cybersecurity tools today need to evolve from one-size-fits-all silos into a modern tool set designed to adapt to your specific needs. The SecOps Cloud platform works by providing you with ungated access to the underlying security tools and infrastructure you need. Everything is on demand with no minimums, no contracts. It's an approach to cybersecurity that's very similar to that taken by AWS with respect to IT. We offer a full-featured free tier with no credit card required. Get on the platform today and deploy an EDR. Start ingesting logs, build a product, or start an MSSP. We're making security flexible so you can build what's possible. You can learn more or get started for free at limacharlie.io.
My guest today is Garrett Krajec, a certified security leader with nearly 30 years of experience in information security. Garrett is widely recognized as a visionary in identity access and authentication, holding 13 patents in areas such as X.509, mobile security, single sign-on, federation, and multi-factor technologies. Over the course of his career, he has contributed to major security projects from prominent commercial clients like Dish Networks, Office Depot, Ticketmaster, and E-Trade, as well as public sector organizations including the U.S. Navy and the EPA. Garrett began his career as a security programmer at Texas Instruments, IBM, and Tandem Computers, later advancing to key roles at RSA, Netegrity, and Cisco. He's also the founder and creator of SecureAuth IDP, a two-factor authentication SSO platform. Known for his expertise in security architecture, product development, and leadership, Garrett is a thought leader in modern IT architecture, including mobile deployments, cloud hybrid environments, and advanced authentication technologies. Thank you so much for being with us on the show today, Garrett. It's a real honor to have you.
Great. Look forward to it.
Before we get into it, do you want to maybe talk a little bit about your history? It seems like you were born in front of a keyboard. Is that a correct assumption?
There's something to be said to that. I went down to Texas at 17 and went to University of Texas and just got into a computer science. You know, it was just, that was it. You know, and it was like, just started doing it. And the fortunate of that move, UT is a great school. It's got a football team. People talk about that. It's all that kind of stuff. But the best thing about it was I moved from a established city, Chicago, which was wonderful, to Austin, Texas, which was just this kind of this new hole in the wall in the center of Texas that wasn't that known. It was only 270,000 people when I first got there, right? But it exploded. It exploded because of its creativity. And, we can do all another podcast on the, on the link between technical engineering, creativity, and a culture. And I had that in spades. I just embodied it and lived it and enjoyed it. And it really helped me, I always say that the difference you can tell in the conversations when you start a company, if they're an Austinite, that type of, they'll ask you, what it is? What are you doing? What is that? If it's a no-cal conversation, it's like, yeah, who's your funder?
Yeah.
That's it. That's the difference. So, I got down in Austin at 17 and just started programming and working at the various shops, and it was very conducive to life. We even talked a little about it. I mean, I programmed and then was like, I studied a lot. I can go, bike across Guatemala or Ireland and come back. And no one's like, oh my God, you missed 3 months out of your life. You'll never know how to, compile a C program. Which is asinine, but it was just the culture of thought is good, ideas are good, and we can build, fix, and make things better. That's when I got out of Austin, Texas.
That's awesome. And in choosing computer science back then might have been a little left field. Was there somebody in your family that inspired that, or did you just have an interest in computers?
That's a great question. I'll tell you exactly what it was. I'm from the Midwest, love the Midwest, the whole nine yards, right? Brother went to Michigan State and he came back and he was graduating when I was freshman year. And there was like 25% unemployment in the Midwest at the time because it was oil, gas, that kind of stuff, right? And Texas had 3% and jobs seemed to be going in the computer field. So it was just nobody. And I was going to UT, which had just won. Austin had won the MCC, which was the a government program to keep the software industry in the ed, and then the Semitech, and it won that, which was to keep the hardware, the chips in the head. And UT paid for both of them. They gave them the land and said, we'll charge you $1 a year. So it was the culture, and that's a true story. There was a culture of Austin, and UT was that tech is the future. And so I was like, okay. And, it, you know, like most people, like it influenced by whatever. And I would say this, and kind of funny to talk about so much about UT, but that first class I took, I think it was the way reason I stayed in, it was because it was so hard to stay in. The first class I took had close to 700 people. And the professor, the very UT Wade of the 80s, looked at us and said, we got way too many students here. And by my last class, there was only 22 of us. So you can, you know, imagine that you can do the numbers, you know?
Yeah. I kind of remember that from university, actually. I studied computer science, too. And it was the first class was in an auditorium. And by the fourth year, it was like 10 of us sitting around the teacher's desk having a conversation. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes. There you go. And that class, first class, graduated probably a lot of advertising and business majors.
Yeah. Where did cybersecurity come in? Was that in your career after university just by chance, or were you always interested in the security aspect?
That was completely by chance. I had moved down from Calgary to Newport Beach because a buddy had started the Linux company. And then that was around 1997 that thing went under. And I just called a recruiter, right? And a recruiter, they said, go interview with this company. And they turned out to be RSA Security. And I had some ability to talk, and I guess I didn't, you know, trip on myself too much. So they made me a sales engineer. And that was a lot of fun because I did nothing but install PKI and program and the, you know, be safe and that kind of stuff. And, you know, implemented those goofy little tokens. Have you all remember the RSA tokens? Those were, it was really hot. And that was it. From there on, you know how it is in this industry. Oh, you're a security guy.
Yeah.
You had RSA for 3 years. And so from there, you know, Cisco picked me up, IBM picked me up, that kind of stuff. You know, you just happen to be. And I'm a huge believer in the SE position. I think that's one of the best positions in the world. And it's and not only for the human, if they can do it, but for the industry.
For the company, yeah, we have some very talented SEs, sales or software engineers that help our customers get the technology installed, make sure they understand how to get the best benefit from it. And yeah, that's the best thing we have.
The best thing I learned about product development, and that's what I am now, a product, you know, developer and product creator, is what SEs, and that's what I taught them, my ISEs that worked for me. I go, remember, your job, you think your job is just to go pitch the current product, and it's not. And that's, you know, that's 45, 49% of it. Okay. What you're supposed to do for the company is go talk to the customer, find out, and you're the guy sitting next to you, your sales guy, saleswoman, she's thinking the deal. She's thinking terms. She's thinking whether he's got money. You're supposed to think whether you can win it. And I go, your job is to hear the requirements and then think of a dot in a circle. Is it right in the circle? Is it just outside the circle, or is it way up there? And you got to tell your salesperson that, man, let's cut this shit.
It's not a fit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I go, the problem of what a good SE does is convince the customer to work with you. A excellent SE convinces the company to do that. And that's what I always said. You're selling to people. You're selling the, you know, if it's right there, you're just selling the customer, but most of the times it's not. It's right outside, right? And you got to write a business case to your own company and saying, this is what I'm seeing. I talked to Bob over in Chicago and I talked to Jane over in Dallas and Stan over in Washington D.C. We're all seeing the same problems. It's worth this much. We should implement this change. And that's what I always say, that is what a good ST should do.
Awesome. I think I might have to get you back on the podcast because there seems to be a lot we could talk about. Today, I do want to talk about compliance regulations. We're trying to figure out how MSSPs can help their clients meet regulatory requirements and what it means for an MSSP to help implement that. Are you good to get going on that?
I love that topic.
Okay.
Because not only do I build a product with it, but it gets me, which, you know, I don't know, I kind of like that role, get on a soapbox and rant. Because I built this product, this GRC product. It is specifically Unitas. It is an identity attestation. What the hell is that? That is that every Western country says if you hold sensitive data, I don't care if it's healthcare, financial, privacy, if you hold that data, you're under a regulation that says you have to regularly attest who has access to that. That is often, for most companies, a very, very painful manual procedure. Or it's a very expensive procedure, to name some companies that came out of Austin, okay? What I did is egalitize the market. I built a really simple product to integrate. Your integrations are simple if someone takes a long time to develop them. And that's what I did, is I figured out I'm really good at IAMs. I created SecureAuth from scratch. So I said, I can knock these IAMs out, and then I can build a attestation solution out of IAMs being identity and access management. So what I did first is I built it out, got it working with all these customers, right? You know, 3.7 million attestations, nice big customers are in Fortune 500s, that kind of stuff. Okay. Then what happened? What happened was, you know, COVID happened and there was a whole adjustment in the market. Okay. People were like, oh, I don't know, I can hire, blah, blah, blah. What was growing? The managed services and consultant market. So what I did is I went back to the drawing board and then I said, what I can do is put a layer on top of this product. I can make it multi-tenanted, not only for management, but for billing. So I know each one is doing how much per month. Okay, here's the interesting thing. What I discovered was a lot of MSPs are still in the, I call it the spacely sprocket world, right? Where they're beating the hell out of each other over device management. Okay. And I mean that. I worked at Cylance for 4 years. So I have some clue of the device management MSP. I mean, the EDR market, et cetera. Okay. Because I built them a really forward thinking, a zero trust platform out there. And they were great guys, brilliant company, all that kind of stuff. But I know that space. That's a crowded space. Okay. It's a really, really crowded space. How many devices do you have? How many antiviruses can I put on? How many can I manage? Oh my God. You know who's laughing at all this? It's our friends in the SI world. They're the ones who usually get the big bucks for the governance, right? Here is the MSPs, you know, spacely sprocket each other, fighting over how many devices, how many antiviruses they put on it, managing that, where the real capital and the real value is saying, I will put on the adult pants on and I will help you govern your enterprise. I'll help you with the hardest problem, not the hell with Garrett, the thing is the hardest problem. OWASP just said it. OWASP 2025 has just articulated that the number one vulnerability is access controls, right? So what are we doing around access controls? We have the tools. You know, when I started this company, maybe, you know, some people didn't have Azure AD or Okta or JumpCloud or Ping. Now, that's, everyone has it. And everyone's got an IAM, right? And I'm not saying they have everything synced in there and all that, but they have it, okay? That's not the problem. The problem is privilege creep. That's a standard fact in identity. The longer an identity lives, the more permissions it gets. It just accumulates permissions, and voila. What happens is either a malicious user takes over or a rogue insider threat, you know, that person's gone bad. What I've done in the product is make it so the MSPs can do this. They can take my product and they can go site to site to site, run the access reviews. Your customers in healthcare, you just came from a volunteer group that was doing, you know, brain recovery people. That's PHI data. Someone's required to review the access there. Okay, so you have a healthcare vertical, or you got someone in a retail. Well, they're covered under PCI DSS, right? Or you're managing schools, right? That's all PHI. That's all the stuff. Elementary schools have tons of PHI. All of these markets require someone to be doing a review. And if they're using an MSP, they're either doing it themselves in a lousy manner, because it's hard. It's hard to really understand how to review roles and get the right permissions and all that. Or they're spending way too much with an SI for something that you can be doing. And that's what we did. The smart MSPs that I've been working with, and they don't use the word user access review, because no one the hell knows what that means. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I know, or whatever, but customers don't. What they do is they go, we have a couple different packages. We have the identity package, we have the identity plus, and we have the identity plus plus, right? You're in a regulated industry. You need to be in the identity plus or the identity plus plus. And what that means to me is they do access reviews once a year or four times a year. You know, that's what it means, is stuff like identity recertification, where you go through who has access to the privileged data and come up with a report and revoke the uses and all that. That's exactly what my product does. But what the MSP does is become the adult in the room and manage it and says, I want to do this for you, because there was a number out that said the access reviews done by companies themselves have a 60% error rate because they don't know what they're doing. I've trained FTEs in this product in a weekend. I've never talked to them, nor anyone in my company. What they did is they just rent our videos and all that. We designed this thing brain dead. So if you have MSP as any type of resource that knows how to get their way around a Azure AD or an Okta, they can run this thing blindfolded. And that's what was missing and why the MSPs didn't get into the governance space. You stated governance to most MSPs, they're like, oh my God, I don't have a half of a million or, you know, a quarter of a million for one of those guys to run the SailPoint or whatever. They just say that. This is where my product is different. It's designed for the MSPs. You can take, well, I've got MSPs running these off of, you know, just people who understand, know how to use an AD or an Azure AD, you know, someone who's making maybe 70, 80,000 a year, right? And they would just add this piece on and they just run the reviews, you know, once a quarter. And all of a sudden they got a whole new revenue stream. They've got a better customer because the identities are more secure. They're adding value in governance and compliance.
No, it sounds fascinating. And that's you a test. If anybody wants to go check it out, we'll make sure to link that in the show notes. You mentioned HIPAA and access management is some of the compliance hurdles. Is there other regulatory frameworks that businesses commonly face? You know, GDPR, HIPAA, PCI, what are the big ones?
Yeah, you have that. You recognize your industry. If you're in retail, you have PCI DSS, or you're taking credit cards. But you know what you're also under? You're under HIPAA, right? Because you are straight out, you know, have your employees' healthcare information in there. And you might also be under privacy because you're collecting data. And right now, America's kind of a mess, right?
That's an understatement, sir.
Right? Yeah. Because you could be under CPRR and CCPA for your California customers. You could be under New York 500 for their customers, blah, 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 blah. Go down this list, right? So it's best to have that on file that you did your access reviews, right? But it's not just healthcare, whatever. So if you're in insurance, you're also under regulatory. Those are state regulators that says you have to be under compliance. I'm holding a training session on GRC, and I'm literally not going to go through each one. I'm going to go through NIST CSF 2.0, Cybersecurity Framework 2.0, and show them where it basically lays out identity and identity governance. Because I always say, I go, remember, the people who write these regulations, they are pretty good with control C, control V. There's not a whole hell of a lot of thinking that goes on there, okay? And sorry to offend anyone out there, but I'm sorry because I've reviewed ISO 27001 and HIPAA and all these. It's all Control C, Control V. It just says the best efforts need to be in place to assert that the privileges granted are correct. And what that means is that someone in your enterprise, in their internal or external, has actually conducted an access review and it's on file. And if you checkbox that and you get hacked, that's what happens to SolarWinds, right? They were called out for three things. They were called out for SDLC. They said they did not do their software development lifecycle, that they had no practices in practice, which is kind of a problem, right? That they weren't doing two-factor, and they weren't practicing the privilege of least privilege.
Yeah. And for a company that size, it's really kind of baffling that their process was like that.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. In all honesty, having, you know, I started this call saying this, you know, from Austin and all that. Sometimes you're moving at the speed of light and all that. But that's what I call, that's what governance is. It's the adult in the room that says, hey, guys, that's great. We got to run. Who the hell is managing these identities? What is our governance setup? What are our practices and procedures? And that's where automation is key. Because no one's got time for manual processes anymore. I don't even know if you got taking a kid under 30 and if he wouldn't even know how to dump something to a spreadsheet and, you know, and check it off. You
know? So that's interesting. You mentioned this as a potential new revenue stream for MSSPs. Do you generally think that the role of the MSSP coming into an organization is helping them evaluate what their compliance requirements are, or is that something the customer should be coming to the MSSP with?
I think there's no question they should. I think, and they don't have to have a guy on staff. Okay. One thing I learned about the GRC world, there's so many guys out there that put up a shingle. I can help with any MSP. I got so many in my back pocket to do my webinars, that type of stuff. So what that means is the compliance person comes in, and that can be a third party for an MSP, and they say, what do you got? Oh, we got to do a SOX, or we got to do a SOC. Okay, great. Here's a tool I use. Here's your gap analysis on it. And usually what comes up is they haven't done their access reviews. And that's where I come in. So that's where I see it. So I see it's a revenue producer for MSP, but it's also a point of stickiness where they can say they're adding value. And that's a problem. I mean, a lot of these companies either have a little wet behind the ears CISO, right? Or someone that maybe can use some management, you know, some help. And if you're the MSP that says, hold it, I got your back. I have identified that you're in this regulatory industry. I have this guy that will help you do your analysis. And I'm integrating this product with everything. I'm integrating it with the, I call them the GRC dashboards and even the CISO dashboards. Like there's one called Real CISO. And I'm like, I integrate into that. And that way people can use the gap analysis tools and realize that they need to do an access review.
Is there any legal or financial risks for MSSPs if their clients fail to meet regulatory standards? Obviously, they're covered with identity because you've made that solution, but overall?
You know, the market's American Canadian, right? And what do we like to do? We like to sue.
Yes, you do.
You know? And the good thing is that the roles, authority, and execution is leaving the enterprise and going to the MSPs. I don't think there's any argument to that. But then so comes the accountability.
If you're going to take the paycheck, you better be crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
I use it in my presentations. There's this wonderful a defense lawyer. She's a defense lawyer. She defends enterprises against lawsuits, cyber lawsuits, okay? Her name is Cynthia Stamer, and she did a presentation in Scenic LA, which I'm close to. So it was, I think, the ISC squared, or was it ISSA? I should get that right. Anyways, and she stood up there and literally told the room in a very good Texas way, I can't defend you guys. It was a bunch of guys. I got a great picture of her standing. There's all these, you know, follicle-lacking guys in the front row, right? Including myself and you, right? Anyways. And she goes, she literally looks at it. I got a picture of her with her hands and goes, I can't defend you. She goes, you're doing your job. You think you're doing your job. You don't have the evidence you're doing a job. And that's the exact same thing as MSP. There's no bad MSPs. I'm sure there are. I've never met them. You know what I mean? They're all smart guys. They're all know their stuff. Come on. You know what I mean? If you can, you know, manage someone AD at 2 a.m. when you get woken up, you're pretty smart. You got your stuff. What's not being done is the evidence that you're doing your job. And that's what Cynthia Staver is saying. And that's what the industry says, that it's not enough to put in controls. If you don't have evidence of your practices and procedures of the principal of least privilege, you haven't done your job. I'm sure even, you know, SolarWinds, when they got fined, someone in the office says, what are you talking about? I reviewed those every Tuesday or whatever. Where's your evidence of the process? Where is your evidence of the review? Where is your evidence of the certification, revocations, delegations, blah, blah, blah. That's what UATest provides, and that's what I provide for the MSPs, is evidence that you had practices and procedures. And what about this? What about the smart ones that offer it, right? And that the customer declines. I choose not to do the Identity Plus package. Okay, fine, dare sue me because I'm trying to do my job. You declined, you know, the offering where I would have been reviewing these every month and every quarter. And I think that's what MSPs have to do to stay in business.
So how do you see this evolving? Do you think that there's going to be more government regulation, more compliance requirements, or do you think maybe with the new administration, we see less compliance and regulatory?
I did a webinar on that in the topic. I had some people out of Washington, D.C. They can say there's less regulations. It doesn't matter. What is high trust? What is PCI DSS? Those aren't government people. That's the industry. That's high trust is the insurance company saying, we're tired of being hacked.
Yeah.
Okay? And you, dear friends, are going to do a better damn job or so. I see, not only do I see the regulations keep getting the force in the American-Canadian way of companies getting sued. That's really, you know, the enforcement. Yes.
That's what makes change. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also see them becoming more intelligent. I had the luxury in my life to present to NIST a couple of times. And I like the guys. I think they do a great job. I mean, you know, the world uses them and all that kind of stuff. What we're going to start seeing, y'all, is in my dear opinion, I mean, they're all the world's pushing zero trust, which I'm a big fan of. Zero trust basically says in the optimal levels that the components are working together. Okay? And we're going to start seeing more regulations like this. Like, okay, some little bell or whistle went off here and your process did nothing with it. You know what I mean? That's where I'm going to see this. And guys, that screams MSPs, right? Because who has it all worked out? Who has the ability to work this out? I got it in my product out. I got triggers. I've got identity trust scores based on AI, right? But if you don't take the time to connect it to the enforcement points, what the hell? It's just one more thing going beep. You know what I mean? So when people give me that question, you see regulations going away, go, no, I see them becoming more intelligent, right? I mean, when I started my career, way when I even had here, there wasn't two-factor regulations around PCI DSS and all that. No, there was that, it was a big hack on the one of the retailers.
Target?
No, it was.
No, that's newer.
God, I'll remember it sometime. But it triggered. They just sold every credit card these guys ever had. I'm just cleaning them out. You know what I mean? And then they came up with PCI DSS and they put in two-factor. They literally, it was one of the first times where they called out. And I'm saying that's where the regulations are going. I mean, you know, we like to say we're going to have less regulations. Okay, what about NERC SIP, right? For the energies. We're all freaking out that, you know, basically, you know, the Russians or Iranians shut down their oil pipelines on the East Coast 2 years ago, right? Which was pretty much identified hack. So are we going to reduce regulation that? No, it's not going to happen, you know? And the last one I would say why I say it's not going to happen is because let's not forget the fourth column in our countries. It's the lawyers. They paid for it. No one changes what NIST writes. They just control C, control V. They just go apply it to another industry. You know, they're not spending any time going, really, what is the principle of least privilege? No, it's just, you know, you copy PRAC-4 into all of them. So my opinion is, no, I don't see regulations going anywhere. I see it keeping increasing with enforcement, especially through lawsuits, right? And I see their regulations. As we can cite, we can go through them. You can go through the new NIST CSF 2.0. It's more granular. And which I, if I'm an MSP, I would look as a positive. I don't, because your industry, they don't have the personnel to understand that. So what you need to do is, you know, either take a guy or, you know, or a contractor guy who understands those, and then have the right tools that you can apply and package the tools together for your customers. I think that's what's going to go on. I'm a big believer in the, what I call it, like the 1920s electrification of cyber, which is, you know, there used to be tons of different electric companies, right? And then people had their own furnaces in their houses and all that, right? And it was like, why the hell do people have furnaces in their houses? You know, that just doesn't make any sense. Just put up a power line and just bring the power in. And that's literally what happened. And that's what I believe in IT, because it's just the it's too granular. There's too many components. I believe that not only does zero trust work, I think it's always going to be part of regulations. That you not only are monitoring, but you're actualizing the events. That's not easy. And that takes, you know, people who actually know what they're talking about and know what they're doing, you know, and my product does it, but, you know, it does take, you know, my triggers will go to someone, but it's better if the triggers are actualized by the enforcement point. And that's could be configured by the MSP. So I believe not only the regulations are going to be shooting up, but basically the complexity shoots up and the regulations actually do keep up with them. They always keep up with them after the hack. I'll grant it. But then they rewrite them and update and then expect you to do it.
Yeah. Are there emerging regulations or industry standards you think MSSPs should be thinking about, like stuff coming on the horizon?
I see straight out that in your healthcare, HIPAA and HITRUST are there. The enforcement's getting stronger, right? And they're following more and more off of things like zero trust and principal least privilege, okay? Finance went through a huge change because our friends over in Europe with EU DORA, okay, that says if you're doing business with them, you have all these very PCI DSS type controls that you have to follow, okay? And do I see us copying a lot of that? Yeah, I think so. You know, I really do, you know? And then as we even kicked off this call, privacy regulations, you know? It doesn't behoove America to have 50 different privacy regulations. You know, it just makes it harder. So we just adopt one. And then that, of course, is, spells out that we have to do principal of least privilege on access.
Interesting stuff to think about. I have one more for you. It's the one I ask of everybody that comes on the show. It can be as wide or as narrow as you want. Do you have any predictions for the future of cybersecurity?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Consolidation. Off from the enterprise. I just really do. I mean, I believe in the MSP model. I changed my product. I believe in it so much. Okay. I believe that the knowledge to keep the knowledge, expertise, and time to keep an enterprise safe is overwhelming most organizations. We need the shared intelligence of the MSP. I don't think that's a real bold prediction, but that's my underlying prediction of why I literally changed my product around about 14 months ago.
Yeah, and I think we've seen that a lot actually in practice where some enterprises have tried to bring security in-house and then 2-3 years later, they're contracting it out to MSSPs because like you were saying, retaining talent, building expertise, designing all of that in-house, it's a lot.
There's so much benefit of someone who does it at different companies. Because someone who keeps doing identity management for, you know, 5, 10, 20 companies, he's got so much learned experience and so much stuff that it's great. I mean, because we all know what happens to our brains. If you keep doing something the same way, you know, you don't grow, right? But if you're seeing this, oh, this is what you're seeing. Hey, we did this with this group. Oh, we used UTS here and this way. And then we redid it here and here and we got the right results and we, you know, cleaned out the things. That's what I see. I do see more and more moving off from the enterprise. And what I believe is what you're going to have is the jobs at the enterprises will be governance people. Not so much IT people, but governance. Are the practices and procedure, you know, the enterprise has built a policy. Someone in the damn company has got to make sure that those policies are being followed, right? And that is the job that we retain at the company. That those practices, we need to have these guidelines, and that person then says, okay, well, if I'm going to meet these objectives, I have to have these controls executed by these parties that will agree to these terms.
Find the MSSP to execute it, make sure they're keeping their end of the contract, all that stuff.
100%. So the MSPs are going to have to not only mature in governance, but how did I almost miss this? This is what I really believe. Metrics. Our industry has to do a better job in metrics. I'm putting all these metrics into my product. Okay. I talked about things like my identity trust score. Well, shouldn't there be a metric that say, what is my overall identity trust score? Right. And then your KPIs. What's my key performance indicator? How many of these reviews have I done? What percentage is my company right now in 30, 90, 100 days? What about key risk indicators? What about my key group, the Azure group, the Amazon group? What's my risk there? There's a great post that's going around by a guy named Zach something that quit Netflix and told that he hated his job because management kept asking him for security metrics. And he said, where the F am I going to get security metrics? Right? So I even wrote some patents on it about metrics for governance. And you see where I go with that? That's what I'm giving you, the MSP. I'll give you metrics for that you are doing your job, because I believe in the MSPs. They're all good. They're all doing their job. Let me give you a little green ball, you know, that says, you know, I am doing my job. Then you can show the governance person at the company that says, oh, you know, Bob's MSP is great. You know, when we started, we were in the yellow and reds. Now we're in the greens.
Everybody loves a dashboard, right?
I totally believe, like Cynthia Stammer telling the world, it's not enough to do your job. You got to show evidence that you're doing the job.
You got to prove it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being on the show with me today, Garrett. It was a great conversation, and I'd probably hit you up to come back and just let's go wide and talk about cyber in general. But this topic, I think, was super valuable for anybody listening who's working at or running an MSSP.
Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for the mic. Loved it.
Okay. Take care, sir. Bye. And that concludes this episode of the Cybersecurity Defenders podcast. If you have any feedback or ideas for future topics, please send an email to defenders@limacharlie.io. You can access the intel we talk about on the show in real time and join the conversation on the Lima Charlie Community Slack channel at slack.limacharlie.io. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider sharing it with someone or leaving a rating or review. And don't forget to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening from. Thanks for listening in. We'll see you on the next episode.